This is Family Court Vision,
the podcast where a woman and her son discuss all things basketball.
On today's episode, we have Olympics chatter, WNBA drama, was our movie just right, and our trivia game, kind of like You Don't Know Jack, but is it You Don't Know Jack, or Does Jack Know?
Not much. And also, our movie was just right.
It was.
It was.
In kind of a Goldilocks kind of way.
Sure, yeah. Let's boogie.
Welcome to episode 28 of Family Court Vision. It is 5 o'clock on Thursday, July 8th.
Sure is. A day later than we normally record.
Yeah.
You had some issues to deal with yesterday.
Plumbing issues in the basement.
Yes.
Our house is the age that the pipes in the basement are starting to leak, like get little pinhole leaks, but then you don't notice it until the whole carpet's wet. So we did that yesterday. And then before I went to bed last night, I discovered that there's some issue with our brand new washer. So, but the repair person cannot come for about 2 weeks. So there we go.
A lot of fun. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Woo.
This weekend, got stranded out on a boat. So,
oh yeah,
we've both had some water issues
to
deal with. That have been a lot of fun. I'm no longer on that boat.
You were rescued.
Just to put that out there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was not a ton of fun.
But before each of us had these issues, we had the best day of our podcast lives.
We did. What happened?
We went to a Liberty game.
We sure did. Yeah, we went to the Liberty game against the Mystics on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great game, maybe the best Liberty game of the season that we got to see.
It was amazing, amazing game.
Our seats were great. Mm-hmm. You know, we got there early and got to walk all around Barclays. I don't think any of us had ever been there before.
No.
But yeah, I'm sure any listeners have probably seen your Instagram posts, you know, some of the pictures that we took while we were there. But yeah, I had a blast and I'm excited to go to more Liberty games.
Yeah, me too. I'm looking into renting an apartment in Brooklyn so that I can get there quickly.
Uh-huh.
There was definitely some scary moments when Dee Dee was down and not moving, but she seems to be okay.
Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah, there was a scary collision. She looked like, I think it was Rashonda Gray, her knee. I think Dee Dee's like head banged into Gray's knee as they were both going for a rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And Dee Dee was down on the ground for a while and left and went back to the locker room and was having trouble standing on her own. And it was very scary. But then midway through the second half, she then returned to the bench and then was available to play in the very next game. So
Right. When she came back to the bench, though, she still didn't look great.
No. Yeah, she wasn't like in team huddles or anything.
Right. As the game went on, she did a little better. But yeah. But the next game she was better, so that's good.
Yeah.
And then Jazz Jones, that's the jersey I wear because I love her. She's a spitfire, and she vaulted into the audience, did a tumble over the bar.
Yeah.
Landed, got up, stepped on the table, jumped back onto the court, and kept playing.
Yeah. It was wild and just a perfect indication of the energy and effort that she puts into her play.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd there really, you know, appreciated, you know, obviously it was scary at first, but once we saw she was okay, really appreciated her doing that. Because at that point, it was a close game. Liberty were trying to make a big comeback.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think she is most responsible for the Liberty comeback.
Oh, yeah, and their energy levels.
Yeah.
You know, she's not a starter, but once she enters the game, it's hype.
Yeah, and it was even just in this season, they've played less than 20 games so far. the overall improvement from her. She's always brought energy, but in the beginning of the year, it was a lot of erratic energy, mm-hmm. and it was a lot of like making mistakes and turnovers and taking bad shots and stuff. And already it's turned into like great focused defensive energy, you know, athleticism, getting to the rim when we really need a bucket sort of thing. So
I would say like most improved is what I would think.
Yeah, I think that's mm-hmm. a good.
I just feel like most improved.
A good title for mm-hmm. for her play this year. So
yeah, 100%.
But yeah, it was a fantastic game. It was awesome to see them in person. I haven't been to a professional basketball game in person in a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just so much fun. It was a great comeback. That Tina Charles on the Mystics, she was pretty much unstoppable. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking the whole time is like, Sabrina is on a minutes restriction until the Olympics because she's still recovering from her injury. So she's not, mm-hmm. they're not letting her play more than 25 minutes a game.
Right.
And Natasha Howard is still out, who at the beginning of the year, most people were saying she's going to be their best player. And mm-hmm. in the two or three games she did play, she looked great. Mm-hmm. And Beck Allen was out, who's been an important role player for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are the Liberty one of the top tier teams? No, I don't think so. But, you know, even missing some pieces, they're still holding their own. So I'm excited for the rest of the season.
And a heck of a lot better than last year.
Heck of a lot better.
When I loved them anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right.
All right. Time for basketball news of the week. So what do we got first? The NBA?
NBA for probably only one more week after this. We'll lead with NBA.
Okay.
Because once it's their off season, then we're getting ready into WNBA stuff. But so since last time.
We're down to two teams.
Down to two teams. Yeah. So Bucks and Hawks wrapped up with no Giannis. Mm-hmm. So the last two games, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday came up big and won game 5 and 6. Mm-hmm. And so we have a Suns versus Bucks finals.
Who could believe it?
Who could believe it?
I saw someone like tweeted that in 2016.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Is that true?
Like,
is that a real tweet or is someone messing with us?
These things have come up before where some, you know, maybe somebody last year, they dig up an old tweet like Lakers 2020 champs calling it now. And it's like 5 years early. I'm always skeptical. And I feel like people may have tweeted out like a bunch of different outcomes and then deleted tweets as
maybe the playoffs. We should do that.
We should, yeah, no, we should definitely tweet out like every possible champion 2024.
Wow.
And then as each team gets eliminated, we'll just quietly delete it.
And then when we get
to the finals, we're like, look what we tweeted.
I'm doing it. Listen, I've always been a pretty good predictor. I predicted multiple American Idol winners and runners up without having to do that. But if I had thought of doing that, man, wow.
Wow.
All right. Game plan.
Yeah. So Suns and Bucks, I'm not sure if you remember, but the day the episode we did right after the Lakers got eliminated, I said my best case scenario from here on out is a Suns Bucks finals. And that's where we are.
And here it is.
So I'm, you know,
that's
obviously
you would hate the Nets.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. You live in New Jersey. They used to be from New Jersey. We went to Barclays. You enjoyed Barclays. You're from New York. They're now from New York. It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's nonsensical, Jack.
They're not my team. They have never been my team. So I've never rooted for them. And they have a few players that I'm not the biggest fan of for various reasons. Mm-hmm. And they're also really, really good. So they pose a threat to the Lakers and LeBron and other teams that I root for. So it's an amalgamation of things.
All right.
For them. But the Suns, for me, it's an amalgamation of things of why I was rooting for them thus far and why I'm continuing to root for them now in the finals. Mm-hmm. Number one is they beat the Lakers. So if they win the championship, I can say, the Lakers were the second best team. They just happened to have a bad first round matchup and play against the champs. But, you know.
You're the king of like rationalization.
Yes. The second thing is, if the Suns win, there's still going to be uncertainty about who the best player is going into next season.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like if Giannis wins it, he's definitely the best player. Mm-hmm. It, you know, if KD was there, he's definitely the best player. But like Devin Booker is really good, but he's young and still has holes in his game. And Chris Paul is really good, but he's too old and he doesn't perform as well in the regular season. So it would still muddy the waters. I could still hold on to something for another year. And also, I'm rooting for Chris Paul. He's 36 years old. This is probably his best chance at ever winning a title. And I love the way he plays. And so hardcore rooting for him.
Yeah.
We had game one already. The Suns won that first game in Phoenix, 118 to 105. It wasn't a blowout, but they were in control for most of the game. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul had a big game, 32, 4, and 9. And Giannis was a last-second go for the game, so that was good to see. He didn't have a great game, but he did make some awesome plays. He had a great chase-down block, so glad to see that he is at least mostly healthy enough to play. And hopefully this is a good finals.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Game two is tonight. So, I forget to say, you picked the Suns in six games. Is that right?
I did.
Yeah, and I'm taking the Suns in seven.
And one of our listeners agrees with me on social media, so.
Oh, I didn't see that.
It's two against one.
Okay, so I guess the Suns are taking it in six.
That's right.
But we'll see. Yeah, game two tonight.
I think that tweeter also said that.
What?
Suns in six.
What tweeter?
The one who predicted it like 5 years ago.
Oh, so in addition to Bucks Suns, they also said and Suns are going to win in six.
Yeah, or I might be making that up. Maybe that was just us who predicted it.
Oh, okay. but cool. Yeah. So the Suns have never won a championship. The Bucks haven't won since for 47 years. So either way, it's going to be exciting for either one of those cities.
Either way. In the NBA, so there are, you know, we're gearing up for the Olympics,
mm-hmm.
and there are NBA players who are going to be playing for other countries. I don't know who they are. I'm kind of up on the WNBA players playing for other countries, but I'm not really up on the NBA. Do you know any of them?
Yeah, I know. I started out with my prep that I'm like, I'm going to list all of them, and I realized there are a lot of non-American or players playing for non-USA teams playing. So I did just make a list of which countries are being represented and how many NBA players they have.
Okay.
So so obviously USA, all 12 players are are currently in the NBA. Australia is the second most with six.
Mm-hmm.
France has five. Spain has five. Nigeria and Argentina each have three. Nigeria's team is not completely set yet, but it looks like they're going to have three NBA players. Italy, Japan, and Germany each have two players, and the Czech Republic and Slovenia each have one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's most of the countries that are competing. I think Iran has no NBA players and maybe one other country. But yeah, so I would guess if there was going to be a country that was not the USA to come out on top, I would put my money on probably France. It's probably my guess.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you think.
That's what I think. So
mm-hmm.
we'll see.
I have a couple things. One is I just was reading that, Kevin Love's future with his team is uncertain. There are trade rumors. So that would happen during the offseason, right?
Right. Yep, that's right. Uh-huh.
Also, Larry Brown is the only coach ever to have won NBA and NCAA titles and is being awarded the 2021 Chuck Daly Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, cool.
He coached the Pistons. I'm not familiar with him. Coached the Pistons. And then I looked on his Wikipedia page about where he coached NCAA. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty lengthy. And I couldn't make it through all those words. But it looks like he, is it Kansas or Kentucky? I don't even remember. Let me see. University of Kansas. He was there for a while, so maybe it was there.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of cool. NBA and NCAA titles.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Another thing is that the NBA unveiled a new logo for next year, which is their 75th anniversary.
That's right.
So it's kind of red and blue and in a diamond shape and says 75. So who knows if they go back to the standard one the year after that, but next year there's a new logo.
I guess it makes sense for this one, but a lot of people have been saying that Kobe should be the new logo. Because what the logo is a silhouette of Jerry West.
Yes.
And so many people since Kobe's passing have been saying that Kobe should be the new NBA logo. So I wonder if maybe in the 76th season, when they go back to a regular kind of logo, maybe that is a time to change it. I don't know. Right. We'll see. But yeah. We also had some controversy over at ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
There was a audio clip. I don't think it was a call. I think they said it was like, so it's Rachel Nichols, and she like
it was a phone conversation.
A phone. Oh, okay. It was okay.
That yeah, an unwittingly recorded phone conversation.
Yeah, because I think it was something like it was a phone conversation, but she also like had her ESPN mic on or something, and it was recording sound, and then it went back to the studio. So,
mm-hmm.
It's a whole thing. But basically, Rachel Nichols, who's been an NBA media person for a while now for ESPN, she was talking about the decision by ESPN to have Maria Taylor, who's a Black woman and also has been very involved with ESPN for many years now, have her host the NBA Finals, so like the pregame and the halftime show on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And she... I have the exact quote here, but she says, Rachel Nichols, who is a white woman, says, if you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy long-time record on diversity, which, by the way, I know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my thing away, is literally what she said.
Mm-hmm.
This audio just sort of leaked in the past couple of days and has rightfully sparked a lot of anger from people. This has been a big story. Rachel Nichols, who hosts The Jump every day, did get on there and give a very quick apology.
Kind of a non-apology, sort of?
Right. It was like a less...
dancing around it?
She, like... was basically apologizing for being the story, like for causing drama rather than apologizing to Maria Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of passed it off to her two co-hosts who happen to be Black men to kind of speak on behalf of her. It didn't really look very good. Mm-hmm. And so she has continued to host The Jump this week. She was taken off of NBA Finals coverage from ESPN. So now they have Maria Taylor is hosting the show and they have Malika Andrews is the sideline reporter, which is the job that Rachel Nichols was going to be doing. And Malika Andrews is also a Black woman. So a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Sorry, I've been talking for a while.
Yeah, no controversy. Yeah. So, I mean, you covered it.
And this is not the first time that ESPN has been accused of this sort of thing or has been proven to have this sort of thing. There's been anonymous people out there who have said, like, they'll hire Black people, but those employees don't get the same promotion opportunities and they don't get the same, like, you know, being able to host big show opportunities. And so this is not the first time that ESPN has faced controversy on this topic before.
Yeah. That does it for NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Moving on to WNBA news of the week. So there's, lots of drama.
Oh,
so much drama.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like if I just say the word Atlanta, even if our listeners aren't really WNBA fans, they may know what we're talking about or at least have heard about it.
It's been everywhere. Yeah.
Wow.
Whew.
Yeah. So the first thing that happened was that the other day, Kennedy Carter, who is on the Atlanta team, sat on the bench through this first quarter, maybe into the second, but after halftime did not come back onto the court, did not come back to the bench or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And there were lots of rumors. So there was a rumor that she had a physical altercation in the locker room with someone. There were rumors like, why didn't she come back out? Did they like trade her mid-game? What happened? What's going on? So Kennedy, I think this is Kennedy's second year in the WNBA. And even prior to being a pro, has a bit of a reputation of being difficult. I did not follow her in college or high school, so I can't speak to that. I can only say that that's what I hear now that this situation is out. So then there were discussions of who she had this altercation with. There were a few different names being thrown around, but it seems that what happened didn't happen in the locker room. So the latest story is that she was sitting on the bench and she wasn't doing team supporting things while her team was on the court. And Courtney Williams, who's a vet, came over and basically said, you know, change your attitude. You know, you need to support your team when they're on the court. Doesn't matter if you're out there or not, which was an issue, I guess. That wasn't taken well. So she didn't come back out. But then she was suspended until further notice, quote, for conduct detrimental to the team. So now there are rumors swirling. Is she going to be traded because of this? And who would even want her? And some people who think she's an excellent player are like, I don't care what her attitude is. If she gets us the W, let's go. And other people are like, we don't need that on our team. Who would want to have that? So it's this whole, oh my goodness, so much drama.
Yeah, so much. And then it has continued onto social media where you have both Kennedy Carter and Courtney Williams tweeting sort of cryptic things about mm-hmm. what happened. And then you also have fellow Atlanta teammates like picking sides in this. Like Elizabeth Williams tweeted out something like, Courtney Williams, we know what truly happened. We always have your back.
Right, right.
It's
but, you know, I guess Courtney has a somewhat of a history of some difficulty as well. There may have been a physical altercation when she was at UConn. And then there were some issues, I think, when she was at UConn. Is that right? Or Connecticut?
I think Connecticut.
So, okay. So there, you know, someone was traded after there was some kind of an issue with Courtney. Courtney, you know, family members are weighing in on this on Twitter, which are the tweets were later deleted. But Courtney was like, listen, I've been accused of starting fights before. I'm not starting a fight. But, you know, if someone starts one, you know, we're going to go. But there was no physical altercation because I've been accused of this before and I have learned and I am not doing that. So someone referred to not naming names at the beginning of this or just prior to this, that there is a quote unquote cancer on the team. So it's, whoo.
Yeah.
The T. Wow.
The T, absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that we still don't really have the full story on what happened there and what is going to happen going forward. So that's something that we'll continue to watch. Also, I'm not sure if you remember, but in the 144 documentary, the two of them had a little back and forth moment in, I believe it was a film session that they had in the wobble there.
You know, I remember that. I remember Kennedy from that. I didn't remember who it was with.
It was with, Courtney Williams. Yeah. So
there we go.
So interesting. And mm-hmm. and we'll continue to monitor that.
Yeah. So there are a number of, as we mentioned, players who play for professionally in the United States, who are playing for other countries in the Olympics. I was looking at the FIBA team rosters, they're not all really there and they don't all seem to be completely right. Like Nigeria's not up, Puerto Rico, Serbia, those are teams that are listed as teams, but they don't have their rosters there. I may have overlooked it. Courtney Vandersloot, isn't she playing for another Hungary country? Yeah. And I don't remember seeing that on there, but there were a lot, just like in the NBA, a lot of players playing for Australia.
Uh-huh.
So it's not only Liz Cambage. We have Leilani Mitchell, who we just saw the other night.
Mm-hmm.
From our seats, we were like, oh, look how teeny tiny she is. She's so teeny tiny. Meanwhile, she's a good half foot taller than me.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, not so much. Steph Talbot and Beck Allen, both all for Australia. Then Canada, we have Natalie
Achonma. Wasn't Liz Cambage for Australia as well?
Yeah, I said in addition to Liz Cambage.
Oh, sorry. Okay, I missed
that. Yeah, that's okay. Also, for the Olympics, we have in Canada, Natalie Achonma, Bridget Carleton, both of them are from the Lynx, and Kia Nurse, who's currently with Mercury. So there are a lot of people, and submitted on a provisional roster for Nigeria are a handful of Ogwumikes.
That's right. A whole bunch of them.
Yeah. I don't think all of them. I think three. I think maybe there are four total, but I think three of them have been submitted. So, you know, the two who are in the WNBA currently, and I believe their sister's name is Erica, and she is a med student. So,
but also I'm guessing a pretty good basketball player.
I'm guessing. Yeah. And USA, I think, plays Nigeria first.
Get your popcorn ready.
I'm ready.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't remember, we talked when the U.S. Olympic roster came out that Nneka Ogwumike seemed like a pretty clear omission. And her sister, Chine, put out like a tweet thread about like she deserved to be on this team, and various other players. And, you know, everyone was saying a similar thing. And she's also, I think she's like 34. So this is probably her last shot at playing at an Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was sort of this disappointing story. And then just a couple of days ago, this thing came out that the three of them are most likely going to be playing for the Nigerian team, which is awesome. Their parents were born there. They have dual citizenship. They said they've visited back and forth many times.
People were saying, well, oh, they tried out with Team USA. They can't play with Nigeria. That's the rules that they were. But other people were like, you know, Nigeria can overlook those rules. It's their team.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that like technically there's like a FIBA like exception that they have to get, and I don't know if that's been officially happened yet. Hopefully the Olympics do not continue to keep Black women out of competing for various reasons. But this one is looking more positive than the other situation I'm referring to. So So that's good and exciting news, and get your popcorn ready for that first game.
So, Michaela Onyenwede, Rookie of the Month, Rookie of the Month.
Back to back, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's been awesome.
Awesome.
And by far the best rookie. I looked up the stats.
Yeah.
She's leading all rookies in points per game, three-pointers made, minutes, and blocks per game. She's tied for second in steals per game and third in rebounding. So she has just been awesome. We noted from the first game, she looks confident. She does not look a rookie at all. She looks like she's been here for years.
Mm-hmm.
And
I would say that the game that we saw this weekend probably was not her best game,
mm-hmm.
but I think she did a really good job.
Yeah, she makes a good impact, whether she's scoring or not. You can tell she's making good passes. She's playing good defense. You can tell that she's a high IQ player out there. So, I do just want to point out that the Liberty traded away the number one pick in this year's draft to get Natasha Howard, who, you know, unfortunately hasn't made a huge impact, but could going forward, and looks like they still ended up with the best player in this draft class.
That's right.
So,
that's right. You know what I was thinking though, when I was looking, because I looked up in this Facebook group that I'm in, a WNBA Facebook group I'm in, there's drama. People ask questions just to drum up drama. And someone said, let's see. someone said, like, oh, that Liberty's underusing Dee Dee Richards. They're not giving her enough time. It's not fair just because she's a rookie, blah, 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 blah. So that's why I looked up how much time all of the rookies are getting. And she's, Dee Dee is fifth, has the fifth most minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing pretty well. And she is, has more minutes than I think 8 people who were drafted above her.
Mm.
And, so I was thinking, like, you know, Charlie Collier was the big name, but I feel like, I wonder if, you know, when trades happen, so someone gets the first draft pick, it's not when it standardly happens that the team that was one of the worst teams gets the first draft pick. Like, if they trade that away and one of the better teams ends up getting the first draft pick and they pick someone, that might be exciting to get onto a winning team.
Mm-hmm.
But then maybe you're not going to get as many minutes because their veterans are going to get more minutes. So, you know, you're going to get more of a chance if you're the, you know, I'm not saying that Onyewede is a big fish in the small pond, but like compared to rookies, you know, it might be better for you as a rookie to get more playing time by being on a team that might not be one of the top teams.
Yeah. This is a constant thing in every draft, in every league that's like, you know, the best players are going to go higher and they're going to get a lot of playing time, but you know, it depends on the team. You might end up in a losing culture and just be on a losing team for years and years and years,
right,
where you know, somebody who's drafted later in the draft, they might be upset that they didn't get drafted earlier, but guess what, you're going to a winning situation, probably a, you know, a better coach, better players around you, you can learn more about what it takes to win in that league. So But yeah, either way, Onyewede is killing it this year.
And yeah.
Very excited. I was interested in contract stuff with the Liberty because I was like, I don't know how long like a rookie contract is. I don't know like how long they have these players under control. But like Onyewede, Dee Dee Richards, Sabrina, all the young players, they have locked up through like at least 2024, I think.
Oh, is that a standard WNBA thing? Like there's a standard length of a rookie contract?
I'm guessing so.
Okay.
But yeah, so, you know, unless trades happen, we have, I'm excited to be able to continue to watch these players grow on this team.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of growing, the Commissioner's Cup, we have the Sun and the Storm are the top teams.
Mm-hmm.
And in overall standings, the Storm, Aces, Sun, and Lynx. And 3 of those are in the West.
Yes.
3 of those top 4 teams are in the West. And the Liberty's in 6th, so we're still doing okay.
That's right. Yeah, we talked last week. They were in 8th.
Yeah.
But they beat Washington, which was important to create some separation there. And then they beat Dallas as well. So a good week for the Liberty.
Yeah. So let's move on to our movie review of the week. We watched the movie Just Right. For the first time in a couple of weeks, it's not a Disney original.
That's right.
I don't know how I had so many of them lined up in a row, but Just Right. It is a rom-com. It was a little bit lighthearted.
Yes.
Moments of drama here and there, but it was a rom-com.
Yeah, 2010.
Queen Latifah plays Leslie Wright. And Common, she's a physical therapist. And Common plays Scott McKnight, a star player with the New Jersey Nets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As soon as I saw her walk into that job as a physical therapist, I'm like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Basketball player's going to get hurt. She's going to have to rehab him. Mm-hmm. There we go. I see where this is going. And that is where
this movie was. Yeah. This movie was 99% predictable. I would say the one unpredictable piece for me was when, so Leslie has this like family friend living with her.
Yeah.
She's a
Morgan, right?
Morgan. She was played by Paula Patton. Beautiful, like status climber kind of girl. In fact, it starts out, oh, you don't have your apartment and you had to sell back your Mercedes because you didn't have an, or whatever, Rolls Royce because you didn't have enough money. So we already know she's a status climber, and she's got all the books on how to become an NBA wife.
Mm-hmm.
She's doing research. Queen Latifah's character is a huge basketball fan. So they're going to go to a game together, and one of them's there for the game and one's there to try and find a husband. So when they're invited to Scott McKnight's birthday party through a series of events, and they're getting ready, and Leslie's mom comes in with these diamond earrings that her mother gave to her from her mother. And they were the earrings she wore on the night that she met her husband, and et cetera, which was a lot, I think, like Love and Basketball, right? Was it Love and Basketball? Which movie was it where the mom gave jewelry to the daughter? It wasn't Love and Basketball, because that was it? There was like there were two sisters. I remember one of the movies. There were two sisters, and one was the like tomboyish basketball player, but yeah, she was going to be going to an event.
Yeah, that was Love and
Basketball. And she got like special pearl earrings or something to
for the prom, maybe. Well, yeah.
Yeah, something like that. And it was a special moment. So it felt like that was going to be the moment, except that then Leslie's mom gave them to Leslie's friend to wear.
Yeah.
So that was the only twist I didn't see coming.
Yeah. The whole the plot with Morgan muddied things up a lot.
Yeah.
There were some things that was hard to like come back from, because they were essentially sisters. She said that she like moved in with their family when she was three. So like they were basically sisters.
Yeah.
And then she not only dates, but then gets engaged to Scott, who, you know, is obviously clearly the love interest that Leslie is going to end up with in the end. So then that's a whole, like, that gets too weird for me.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, they have to have somebody there because that's how rom-coms work. But then it didn't make sense why she left. I get why they had to have her leave, because if he broke up with her, then, like, then obviously Leslie can't then go date him. Right. But if the sister made the choice to leave, then that's open. Right. But then she comes back, and then they're dating again, and then...
So it was... But then even weirder at the end, he starts dating Leslie again, because that's, like, his one true love he figures out.
Yeah.
But then it's okay. Morgan's like, cool, yeah, I get it.
Right, and there's nothing...
She's at the game with her. Totally fine.
There's no indication that this person would ever do anything like that, and she would ever be like, you know what? She's your true love. Go get her. Right. Like, there's nothing... It's just been... a twist at the end. So
I also wonder how many times in movies, in the middle of an interview, the person takes off their microphone, puts it down, and who was it? Stuart Scott, who was interviewing him?
Yeah.
You know what, Stuart? I got something I got to do. He gets up and leaves the answer. You don't do that. Who does that?
Well, that's it crazy. Shows how important she was to him that he's willing to walk out of there.
Yeah.
So yeah, this was not a basketball movie. It could have been any sport. Where, you know?
Did you know that Common's dad played basketball?
I did not know that. Mm-hmm. I know that Common has been very involved with NBA stuff. He's performed at multiple All-Star games. He also did something with the bubble last year too. I can't remember the bubble. I'm sorry, but yeah. But yeah. So rom-com, a lot of cliches, a lot of predictability.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I've seen that much. Go ahead.
We got a Queen Latifah song at the end overlaying the last scene.
Yeah.
So that was kind of meta.
Yes. And she did sing a little bit in character as well. Well, you have to. Yeah.
You have to. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I have not, I don't think I've seen a ton of Queen Latifah roles. And I enjoyed her performance a lot. I think she was great.
Yeah.
She's like electric on screen.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
I think she was in that movie with Jeremy Jordan that I really liked.
Oh, that's right.
And like Dolly Parton or something.
Yeah. And
wasn't she in the Chicago movie?
Yes, but I've never seen it.
Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, we also, surprise, surprise, had a boatload of NBA players making cameos and sports media people as well. So we had,
that's right.
And even just regular old celebrities. John Legend was like briefly for one clip in this. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't understand. Like John Legend and Rajon Rondo were both like in like 5 seconds, had no lines, just like quickly. Mm-hmm. They were just like sort of part of the background. Like, I don't know how you get that for a movie. Like, I know, I'm sure
because, you know, Queen Latifah and Common are in it. So, you know, they're famous music people. They're probably friends with John Legend. They're like, hey, John, we need a rich person to sit in the front row. you show up and just sit there for 10 seconds and that's it.
You're filming something else next door, so you may as well.
Right.
Yeah. But we had Dwight Howard had like actually a speaking role. Jalen Rose, Stuart Scott, as you mentioned, Dwayne Wade had a speaking role, Rashard Lewis, Marv Albert, Rod Thorne, and Elton Brand. Just anytime there's a basketball movie, basketball people are just like, I'm in, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Fine.
I feel like we should write a basketball movie.
We should. Well, yeah, absolutely.
Let's do it.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if it's a kid-centered basketball movie, if it's a drama, if there's, terrible topics like, you know, drugs and homelessness, or if it's a light, happy rom-com.
They'll come out regardless.
They'll do it. So, they will do it.
Yeah. And now we've seen almost 28 basketball movies. So we know all the plot devices. We know all the cliches we got to throw in there.
That's right.
You're in charge of soundtrack. So, yeah, we're all set.
I'll do it.
Anything else on this movie? In general, like, I did like the movie. It was predictable. Enjoyable. But,
yes.
But, yeah.
Yeah, nothing bad about it.
Anything else from you?
Yeah.
Most and least favorite?
I don't know.
I forgot to write this down, too. Queen Latifah, I thought was great. I really enjoyed her.
Yeah. She was great.
Okay, what did you rate this movie?
I'm going to rate it a 3.5.
Wow.
I know that's high, but when I'm looking at all the other, it is? You were going to rate it higher?
Way higher for me.
I don't know. It was better than Semi-Pro.
Yeah.
But it was no Uncle Drew. I liked Uncle Drew. That was silly and there were predictable parts, but I liked that better than this.
No. I give it a 7.
Whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a better movie than Hoosiers.
It is. It is. But like, I know Hoosiers is the classic basketball movie, but this is a better overall movie than Hoosiers, in my opinion. It's also like looking back, like I know Cornbread was like an important topic, but that was a pretty awful movie.
Yeah.
So like looking back at like our ratings, like there's some that I'm like looking back, I would probably change my order on things, but okay. A 3.5 plus a 7 is a 10.5 divided by 2 is 5.25.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So 5.25. So that's, that puts it, you know, right in the middle, a little on the higher end of, what we've rated so far. All right.
Yep.
And then next week is...
Sunset Park. Sunset Park has Rhea Perlman in it, who I have only ever seen in comedy roles.
Okay.
But I think this is a drama.
All right.
I'm not sure. I could be wrong. We'll see.
All right. So check that out before next week, Sunset Park.
That's right. And our final segment... is our game of the week. Jack has no idea what's going on here.
Nope.
So I was thinking of that trivia game called You Don't Know Jack. Do you remember that?
I don't.
So I was like, it was a trivia game. It was like an edgy Jeopardy kind of thing.
Okay.
It was fun. So I was thinking like, You Don't Know Jack or Jack Don't Know This Trivia. I don't have a good name for it.
I think the first one was better, to be honest.
All right. Well, we'll see. I don't know if you're going to know any of this, because honestly, I never tell Dad anything we're doing on the pod. But I talk to him about every one of these things that we're doing today. So what it is I came up with some NBA Finals trivia. Okay. MNBA Finals trivia. So I asked Dad, because I didn't want to be like, I saved this for last. Who was the blah, blah, blah? And you're like, oh, that's easy.
Uh-huh.
Because I don't know what like automatic knowledge is for basketball people. So I asked him all these to try and figure out what what might be good order to go in. And he really didn't know any of them. He knew a couple of pieces of a couple of them. He's going to yell at me when he hears this and say he knew more than what I'm leading leading on to here, but he didn't really know a lot of them. So
yeah, I'm nervous that I won't know a lot. Like, I have a lot of LeBron knowledge. I'm not sure how much general NBA finals knowledge I have. So
yeah, well, here's just a fun fact about LeBron that is not one of your trivia questions, because I couldn't figure out how to ask it and have it be anything other than obvious.
Okay.
But in 2016, he was the only player on either team to lead in points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks in the finals.
Led the entire finals.
Yes.
In all of those categories. Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just
insane.
I also want to say that some of this trivia I got from an article that was from 2 years ago.
Okay.
And I asked Dad and I Googled for some of them. I was like, is this still accurate?
Okay.
Because it was like, this is the only time blah, blah, blah has happened. Like, what if it happened in 2019 or 2020? From what I can tell, this is all still accurate. But if it's not, that's my disclaimer.
Okay, cool.
All right, you ready?
I guess as ready as I'll ever be, yeah.
All right, who is the only finals MVP from a losing team?
That would be Jerry West.
That is correct. Ding!
I couldn't tell you which finals it is. I know that he has been to a bunch of finals and has lost all but one of them. And I know that fact, but I don't know which year or which opponent that was.
This was the first year that MVP was awarded, 1969. And the Lakers fell to the Celtics in game 7.
But yes, Jerry West, all-time player, the logo.
That's right. Yeah. I had some clues here for you, just in case you didn't get it. Known as the logo. Mm-hmm. Current exec with the Clippers, 83 years old. I thought those might help you, but guess what? You didn't need them.
I didn't need them.
You didn't need them.
Yeah.
All right. Here's another one. I don't even know how many total I have because I have a lot written down, but I'll probably get bored at some point and we'll just stop.
Okay.
Which player has the most final appearances, but without a ring?
Ooh, without a ring. So who has lost the most finals, basically?
Mm-hmm. Has the most finals appearances.
And has never won.
Yep. Yep, that's correct.
Man. Do you have hints on this one?
This person is no longer alive.
Okay.
Died at the age of 86, so lived a nice long life. And is someone we've talked about here before.
Do you have a team?
There's probably a bunch of teams. Let's see. Oh, there's only one team as a player.
Okay, and that is?
Minneapolis/Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, okay.
And then as a coach with the Jazz.
Yeah, that I don't... I'm not going to know this.
All right, I'll just tell you. Elgin Baylor.
Oh, Elgin Baylor. Oh, who just passed away this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, okay.
Okay. Who is the youngest player to win a title?
To win a title? Mm-hmm. I think this might have been last year. Am I wrong about that?
I'm not giving you any hints yet.
Okay. I think it might be Talen Horton Tucker from the Lakers.
So that's not the name I have, but again, this might be older trivia.
Okay.
So who is this? Talen Horton Tucker?
Talen Horton Tucker, I believe. I think that's what the story was after from the Lakers. Yeah. Because I think he's only maybe 20 this year, 21 maybe.
So he's 20 right now. Well, the person that I have, and again, I told you this is 2 years old, so if this happened in the past 2 years, it might have taken. But I Googled it, and it didn't say this guy's name. So I have Darko Milicic.
Darko Milicic, a famously bad draft pick. Oh, but I guess he 2004 with the Pistons.
Mm-hmm. He was 4 days short of his 19th birthday.
Wow.
So you may be right. I'd have to do the math to see how old Talen Horton Tucker was. So you may be right.
Okay.
And who was the oldest?
The oldest to ever win a title?
Mm-hmm.
Purely guessing, I would just guess like maybe a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Nope, I have Robert Parrish.
Robert Parrish,
Celtics.
He was 43,
and he played with the Bulls in 96-97.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Who is the only NBA Finals MVP who was not voted to the All-Star team?
That year?
Yes. And also the only NBA Finals MVP to have ever been eligible for the Hall of Fame but not voted in. Same person. I'm stumping you.
Yeah. My thoughts are maybe Chauncey Billups.
We know that name.
Yeah, unfortunately. Andre Iguodala, but he's still playing, so that wouldn't make any sense.
This guy, interestingly, his nickname was Cornbread.
Cornbread. Oh, so we probably talked about this either when we did that movie or the nickname. But yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah. I don't know about this. Bless you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. Cedric Maxwell.
Yeah, I would never, not in a million years. Yeah.
All right. Here are some that Dad got some of them right. You ready?
Okay, good. Because I think I only got the first one right so far.
I'm going to give you half point for youngest player.
Well, we'll check after.
I'll look it up.
Yeah,
if it was, then
I get full points for that.
If it was, you get full points. But right now, you get a half a point.
Okay.
Only six teams have made it to four straight finals.
Okay.
Can you name them? It is a slightly trick question.
Only six teams have made it to four straight. So number one is Cleveland. Number two is Golden State. Three would be Miami. Four would be the Lakers, I believe. And I'm going to guess that the Celtics probably did it at some point in Bill Russell's career. Or maybe multiple times. Is that the trick?
That's the trick.
The Celtics did it twice. Boom. Look at that.
So you got them all.
Hell yes.
Nice. I think Dad got all but the Heat.
You know, I mean, LeBron James is responsible for two of those. So.
And the Heat, aren't they the ones who are always on my TV?
They are, yeah. Yeah, so I think, I wonder if I can get some years. Do you have those at all?
I do.
Miami went from 2011 to 2014.
Correct.
Cleveland and Golden State both went from 2015 to 2018.
I have the Warriors went through 2019.
Oh yeah, they actually made it to five. Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. Lakers 2000 to 2004. No.
Way earlier.
Oh, in the '80s.
Yeah. 82 to 85.
Did they not do it in the early 2000s with Kobe and Shaq?
They did not.
I know they. Okay. All right. And then, yeah, Celtics, I'm guessing Bill Russell time.
57 to 66 and then 84 to 87.
Oh, so that was Bill Russell and then like Larry Bird. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
All right. Only five franchises have more than four titles.
Okay.
Name them.
Lakers, Celtics, each have 17. Have more than five total titles. The Bulls.
Have more than four titles.
More than four titles. Okay, the Bulls. Mm-hmm. Lakers, mm-hmm. Celtics, Bulls. I'm going to guess the Warriors.
Yep, the Bulls and Warriors each have six.
Spurs.
Yes, and that's it.
Oh, okay. Boom.
You got him. Nice. All right. Good job, Jack.
Thank you.
Okay. Who is the lowest seeded team to win the finals?
I believe this is the Houston Rockets. In the mid-90s, they were a six seed, I think.
You are absolutely correct. 1995 is as mid-90s as you can get.
Yeah, it was one of those.
It tells me that they never had home court advantage.
Yeah, because as a six seed, you're always, always going to be the low seed. That was the Hakeem.
Olajuwon.
Hakeem Olajuwon. I guess that was probably Clyde Drexler, Kenny Smith team.
What is the only eighth seeded team to reach the finals?
Only eighth seeded team to reach the finals. That I'm not going to know.
That is the New York Knicks in 1999.
Oh, I probably should have known that, but I didn't.
Who can you name the first pair of brothers to appear in finals together?
Finals together. Playing together or playing against each other?
I'm not going to specify.
First pair of brothers, not necessarily twins like we talked about last time.
Not twins. I'll give you not twins.
Brothers. Maybe never. Maybe it's this year with the Antetokounmpo brothers.
You are correct.
Yes.
You are correct. Wow, Jack. Okay, two more. I don't really know how to word this. Maybe I should just say this one.
No, try to word it.
Okay. Something is happening this year that is happening for the first time since 1987. What is it?
And it almost
wouldn't have happened. Almost.
Does it have to do with something like about leading scorers on teams?
No.
Okay. Then I'm not, I don't know.
So for the first time since 1987, a former teammate of Shaq's won't be in the finals.
Oh, that's right. The Shaq streak. Yes.
That's right. If the Clippers had won, then Rondo would have kept that streak alive. But yes. This is it. And I have your last question.
Yeah, that's the streak that, LeBron has carried on for a lot, because LeBron and Shaq did play for 1 year in Cleveland. And so anytime LeBron makes the finals, that streak continues, but it is over now. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Since 1987.
Yeah, it's funny because it's going back to like the older players when Shaq was a younger player. And then he hasn't played in a long time.
How about that?
Yeah. All right, last question. We'll see.
Last question. Torrey Craig is a player this year.
Yes.
In the finals.
I think I know where this is going.
Tell me something about that.
He is going to get a ring regardless of who wins this year.
That is right.
He started the year on one team and he is now on the other. So he technically gets credit team wins.
Yes. So apparently this happened a couple of years ago, but whoever it was, they lost in the finals and they rejected the offer of a ring. So technically, Torrey Craig, if he accepts the ring, even if he's a losing team, will be the first player actually to do it.
Okay.
In this sport. It has happened in at least one other sport. But so there you go. So you got six.
Okay. I did much better the second half. Yeah.
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Yeah. Not too good. Bad at all. I think I'm better at general team questions than individual players. So that must be.
Yeah. I'm impressed with some of the things you got right.
Thank you. Thanks.
I decided not to put that LeBron one in because I figured you'd get an automatic point on it. Also, I didn't really know how to phrase, like, without totally giving it away. Who else would have done that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's it for episode 28. Send in your questions, comments, movie thoughts, and guest suggestions to familycourtvision@gmail.com.
Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at @FamCourtVision. And don't forget to subscribe or follow on Google Podcasts, Spotify, and give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. We'll see you next week on Family Court Vision.
The mother of all basketball podcasts.